You're listening to Screen Heroes on the Heroes Podcast Network.
Hi, everybody. This is Screen Heroes episode 129. I am Derek, one of your regular hosts. I have my two other lovely hosts with me, Ryan.
Well, by golly, Derek, it sure is good to be here.
And Ray.
Sup, dudes?
Fantastic.
Did my fake enthusiasm?
I love it.
Was it seem real?
So we're going now.
It took all my effort not to click the pen like a million times.
This week, we are going to be talking about our favorite TV show finales.
Only because we talked about our favorite TV show pilots earlier this year.
We did. And we're not doing Cloak and Dagger. That's just not going to happen. We keep pushing it off. And
it's a difficult show to binge. And the thing is, with our schedule, with how often we need to watch TV shows to keep up with our other podcasts later on down the road, to keep up with other content, we have to binge these shows. It is too difficult to binge. All of us said it was like too emotional.
I know it's hard to believe, but we do somewhat prepare for these and take some time to do that. So when you add, you know, binging shows on top of the normal preparation time, sometimes it's a little much.
It gets tough sometimes.
For shows like that. Like if I can't, you know.
Well, even like when Daredevil drops, it drops on a Friday. We, you know, sometimes we do the show that Tuesday.
That's still tough.
That's a lot of content to get through.
I have changed it when we schedule those.
Give us an extra week.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I appreciate.
It's now 11 days that we get to watch the show instead of 4.
And that does give everybody else a chance to watch it too. Because, I mean, it's tough. I know there are people out there that binge it that Friday night. And hey, all power to you. There's nothing wrong with that. I just can't do that.
Yeah. No, something like The Punisher. Like, as much as I love that show, I could not binge that all in one sitting. There's no way.
That first season of Daredevil where Wilson Fisk, like the episode where he kills his father, was so emotionally heart-wrenching for me. I ended up crying for a good like 30 minutes after. It was just, it hit like on the wrong day at the wrong time and got all the emotions worked up. I didn't want to watch another episode for like 3 days. So it gives me time to space things out if I need to.
Yeah. I mean, I have a hard time doing, you know, 10 to 13 hours of any content like binged in a row. You know, even if it's something lighthearted like a sitcom, that's still difficult to just take that much in.
It's 13 hours of sitting there just mindlessly. Yeah, like, episodes start to blur. You have no idea what just happened. You start smelling things. It's crazy.
Okay.
I think that's a concussion symptom.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So, are you smelling eggs?
Yeah.
Or
it's
rotten
toast.
Meat? Like, have you moved?
I've had a stroke, you know?
Anyway, so we have some news to cover,
a lot of news, of course.
Tons of... Where do you want to start?
Well, let's start with the streaming services. Nickelodeon just all of a sudden said that they're going to have their own streaming service. It's going to be cheap. It's called Nick Splat.
And it's out now.
Every cartoon they've ever released is going to be on there.
So I don't know if that's true.
They're big ones. Like, everything
is Stick Stickley going to be on there?
God, I love him.
Well, so...
Write to me, Stick Stickley.
P.O. Box 963. New York City.
New York State.
10108. That just happened.
Yep.
All right.
Deal with it, Derek.
So I got most of my information on this from a Polygon article, and they pointed out that Rugrats, Invader Sim, and Hey Arnold were not actually mentioned in the announcements for this service, but other shows were, right? We've got things like, you know, Doug and All Real Monsters, Rocko's Modern Life, which is a personal favorite of mine. There's a ton of stuff that's on this list, and it's not all cartoons, by the way, because Hey Dude...
What about All That?
...is on this list. Is All That one of them as well?
I don't know, is it?
So far,
All That, Kenan and Kel.
Oh, man.
Salute Your Shorts, Guts, which I loved Global
Salute
Guts.
Salute Your Shorts and Hey Dude are tempting, but...
Hey, dude.
I mean, I loved Hey, Dude. Who doesn't love that?
Hey, Dude
was great.
Christine
Taylor was on that show. And if you don't know that name, you may recognize her face. She is the wife of Ben Stiller and in all of his movies.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay. Zoolander and Dodgeball, she had the biggest roles in. So.
Was she in Cable Guy?
No, she was
not
in
all his movies
Cable.
Then.
No.
Maybe she was like an extra or something. We don't know. So the service is only $5.99 a month unless you bundle it with this VRV package that comes with a bunch of other stuff, including Crunchyroll and a few other services, and Rooster Teeth is part of that as well.
That's not bad.
No, I
might consider bundling all of that.
I mean, Crunchyroll is huge if you're into anime. Rooster Teeth, if you know Red vs. Blue and Ruby, among other shows, of course, they've got a ton of stuff going on now. $10 a month, or you could just do all of Nickelodeon apparently for just $6, which is pretty impressive. So it's out now. You can do it right now. If that's your thing.
Thank you. I feel like if every channel has a streaming service, then it'll be cheaper to just get cable.
Yeah,
again,
it's like, you know? Yeah, we're back to cable.
Maybe that's the goal. They're like, look, we'll all do our own thing. It'll be just a little more expensive than regular TV, and then they'll all be coming back.
But at least then you can pick and choose what you want instead of getting a cable package that has 200 channels that you don't watch and about 4 that you do.
Yeah.
That's true. Everybody's been asking for channels a la carte for years.
The thing is, though, if you pay more, then pay less for more channels seems like the no-brainer, right?
Well, I don't think you're going to pay more for less channels. I don't think that's a thing. I mean, like, for me, I don't watch ESPN. Why do I need ESPN? If I can spend $60 for all the streaming services or $80 for cable, I'm going to spend $60 for the streaming services.
Right, but I'm talking about if it's $10 for Disney and it's $10 for CBS.
Right, then obviously people have to weigh that option and see if it's going to be more than what cable costs.
Yeah, at some point it'll even out.
But exclusives. I mean, you know, Netflix has exclusives and Hulu has exclusives.
And HBO
has exclusives.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, there's certain things.
No, you're totally right about that. So Disney, they've announced theirs is called Disney Play. Is that right?
Hopefully that changes before launch because it's terrible.
Yeah, Disney Play. What I thought was interesting is Bob Iger said that it's, quote, the biggest priority of the company during the calendar 2019. So we've got, like, Avengers 4 and Star Wars Episode 9. Well,
those are in the can already.
Frozen 2.
It's biggest priority. You know, there's still giant marketing campaigns for those.
Right,
Episode
9
is nowhere near done.
No, it's not done, but by the time 2019 comes around, it's going to be done.
I mean...
At the very least, like, the principal filming and everything, they'll be doing all the after.
I still think it's interesting to say that that is their biggest priority.
It's where the future is going, right?
You know?
I mean, do you not agree?
I just feel like all these channels are jumping on the train, like, way too late. Especially Disney. Disney is a leader in technology and content. You know, this feels very late for them. It feels very out of place. They should have done this years ago. It made way more sense for them to jump on this train right after Netflix hit with Orange is the New Black. I would have figured Disney would have done it. But...
Well, everybody thought Netflix was a stupid idea when it first started, and Blockbuster was going to survive, and all these other video stores were still going to be the way to go, but obviously that didn't happen.
I'm not saying they do it back when Netflix was just a straight to your house DVD company. I'm saying, like, when Orange is the New Black was successful as their own content, like, I expected Disney to do it then. And
makes sense.
Well, people were giving CBS a pretty hard time for launching their service with next to no new content for it, right? Like Star Trek and like one other show. And so maybe Disney wanted to wait until these contracts were running out and they could launch it, you know, some like legit content that's exclusive.
I get that.
You know, because it's supposed to be, they're going to have this live action Star Wars show. They're going to have all the Marvel's content, almost all the Star Wars content. Maybe they were waiting for to launch big.
I guess also part of me expected Disney to just buy Netflix. I didn't expect them to buy Fox. I expected them to buy Netflix. But
I think it'd be harder to buy Netflix right now.
I mean, Netflix is looking to sell. Netflix knows their potential. I mean, I guess they could have just kept throwing money at them, but
yeah,
I think that was the key, was that Fox wanted to get rid of their normal TV business, you know, to focus on news. Quote, news and sports.
Right. If Netflix was looking to sell, or like, you know, there was something, then I'm sure somebody would have stepped up and gone for it.
Sure. Yeah.
I honestly think that at this point, Netflix's next step is to create their own social media. You can connect to other people who are watching the same content as you.
Is this going to be like Ryan's social media platform for Woof? For Dunder Mifflin, where a bunch of child sex predators get in there, and
no.
Like when a company starts a social media network that isn't that shouldn't have one, you know?
Well, this is actually an interesting idea, though, because it could be a lot like Twitch. Like, when Twitch watches, you know, like, mm-hmm. when they all watch Pokemon or whatever, right? Same kind of concept. You'd be able to socialize with everybody watching whatever you're watching, and that would be huge when they release a new season of a show.
I actually think that Netflix next step would be going to the Twitch route and like live streaming and allowing like Twitch streams through Netflix, something along those lines, would be pretty huge, at least of like the people that are large on Twitch.
Well, yeah,
but that would require Netflix and Amazon to be partners, and that's not going to happen. They're direct competitors, you know, so.
But if they offered some sort of streaming platform within Netflix, I think that would be pretty huge.
Now, that would be interesting. Maybe Netflix could partner with Valve. Because, you know, they showed off that Steam TV thing for 5 minutes.
That's true, they did do that once. Back in, like, 2014 or something.
No, like a couple weeks ago. They accidentally launched
it. They talked about something like that a long time ago. Yeah.
They launched it and then took it immediately back down after, like, seriously, like, not even an hour.
It's like the Steam box where it was really big news for, like, a week, and then nobody bought any.
But, I mean, that would be an interesting partnership, though.
Yeah, I mean, any gaming company, I think, bringing that in, because that's huge. Kids mm-hmm. these days want to be professional YouTubers or professional Twitch streamers. So that's a huge thing in the next decade. So, I mean, if they integrated some sort of, you know, something for streaming, I think that's the next place where Netflix should go. Who knows where they will, but... I mean, Twitch isn't big enough to compete with Netflix right now. Yeah. Amazon backing them, I guess.
Well, Amazon owns Twitch.
Well, I get, yeah.
So, you know.
Amazon's money could make Twitch compete with Netflix, probably, but...
Well, because the thing is, Amazon has their whole video service, too, which is the competitor to Netflix, you know? So
right.
That's the big problem there. But Valve wouldn't... That would be an interesting partnership.
Yeah, but I don't know that Valve working with anybody at this point is a good idea with their development... times and
that's fair.
They have a lot of philosophies that don't necessarily work well with other companies.
So a lot of new casting news this week. Matt Smith was confirmed for Star Wars Episode 9, along with some other guy. I forget his name, but I think Disney is finally
from Lord of the Rings.
There you go. Yeah.
McGinnis or what the heck is his name? He was not Pippin. He was the other one.
Oh, Marriott? Yeah.
Dominic Monaghan.
There you go. Yeah. I think Disney has finally learned its lesson, and they understand that all Star Wars fans just want white dudes in roles. And so that's what they're doing.
I think they've just learned that all Star Wars fans want Lord of the Rings actors in Star Wars. Because so, I think this is like the sixth or seventh Lord of the Rings actor.
No Ian McKellen, no care. Right?
Andy Serkis.
Lord of the Rings and a doctor. That's pretty cool, though.
But Andy Serkis is contractually obligated to be in any movie with mocap, so...
I guess so, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting casting. I'm not a big Matt Smith fan because I don't watch Doctor Who, but Dominic Monaghan was great. And as a person, I've watched a lot of interviews with him. He seems like a genuinely lovely person that is just very enthusiastic about things. So I can't see him hurting the franchise at all. And obviously Matt Smith brings in some fans that may not be huge Star Wars fans in general.
Absolutely. So. And then Alec Baldwin was cast as Thomas Wayne in the Joker movie with Joaquin Phoenix.
Just kind of weird. Like, why does Thomas Wayne need to be in a Joker movie? Like,
yeah, it does.
Are they going the Batman 89 route with the Joker where he's the one that killed the pig?
He's Joe, what's his face?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Joe Chill.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, maybe. Like, I know it's an origin story, right? So I guess if the Joker's a lot older than Batman, maybe he would have, like, tried to rob.
But you have Wayne such a problem with that in Gotham.
No, I don't. I'm not saying that. I like this at all.
Oh, okay.
I'm not saying that Alec Baldwin's a bad casting choice for Thomas Wayne if you're going to have Thomas Wayne. It's more of just, like, I mean, the movie seems weird. I'm not even sure why they're doing it, right? Same concept as Gotham for me, except worse, because I like that I don't know where the Joker came from. It's like with Han Solo.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want that mystery to be totally cleaned up. I like the fact that we don't really know who he is. The idea that he could be anybody, or maybe he's just nobody, is intriguing, right? And, you know, to have Batman's, like, big number one villain also be the guy who happened to kill his parents when he was a kid that created Batman.
What a crazy coincidence.
Yeah, like, I never really cared for that.
I mean, it worked in the 89 movie.
Yeah, it's fine, but...
But it's not, you know, it's nobody's going to say that's their favorite part of that movie. Right. It was just something, and they made it work. And, you know, it wasn't a standout, terrible thing about that movie. I don't think they should go this route.
Yeah.
You know, that route with it. But
my favorite part of that movie is the monologue later when he took off his makeup. Because it implies that he sits there and he puts that shit on like a pro every day.
At least they touch on that. Whereas other actors just rip off the cowl with no makeup instantly. Yeah, right? So, Batman v Superman.
Batman Begins, that's like, true. I really Every wanted Batman. That scene with Christian Bale just doing this.
Yeah.
But maybe they're going to really throw us off, and this is actually the precursor to Flashpoint.
No.
No? All right.
But, I mean, that would make it slightly better.
Right?
But I'm somehow doubting that.
Yeah, this is a weird one. It's weird. The whole thing is
weird. Or maybe this is an alt-universe where this is just the universe where Thomas Wayne is Batman. And
right.
Is that what you mean?
Yes.
Okay, I'd be much more excited about that. Because we finally get Flashpoint Batman.
Why the hell are we watching Alec Baldwin in a Batman costume? Right?
I just want the same costume. Like, it's a completely selfish reason. The movie could be terrible, but
the thing is, the Alec Baldwin casting is the least weird thing that we know about this movie.
That's true. You make a good point.
That's why, like, when it came out, it was breaking news. I was like, all right. Like, it didn't really
really had anything to say. We were just like, cool, whatever.
I mean, now we happen to be binging 30 Rock, which I've never seen before. And Alec Baldwin's character, Jack, is quickly, like, that's my favorite character on the show now. So, like, that's kind of funny that I'm going to see him in, like, a movie for the first time in, I mean, when was the last time he did a motion picture?
He voiced the baby in Boss Baby, didn't
yeah,
he?
There you
did.
Go. The Academy Award nominated yeah. Boss Baby. Yeah. Anyway, so that's that. That's that casting news. Anything else? Casting wise?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
One of the Captain America stunt people said, I want to be Moon Knight. It's like, okay, we get it, guys. We don't need a news article every time some random person says they want to be an actor or be in a Marvel movie.
I feel
movie.
Like you should tweet on behalf of Heroes Podcast, every time one of us is like, man, that would be a cool role to play.
Yeah,
right?
Breaking!
Ray wants to play Wonder Woman's daughter in Wonder Woman's sequel, 2017.
It is so silly at this point that, like, it's somehow news that an actor or actor type
wants to play a role in a huge, the biggest franchise right? movies of all time.
Like, there's nothing controversial about that. I want to be a superhero. Okay.
Yeah.
Most people are cool.
You're already
with that.
A stunt person in this case. The person is already a stunt person for Captain America. So I think you're pretty close, you know?
Congratulations. You have the same dream as most 6-year-olds.
Yeah.
I mean, that's my dream.
Yeah.
To be Captain
okay.
America's stuntman?
No, to be a superhero. Oh. Keep up. But seriously, like, it's always breaking
yeah.
news type things, you know?
You always see the articles everywhere. It's like you wish people would just be like, okay, actor wants money. Person who wants job wants money.
Right.
Great. Yeah. Thanks for making that news.
At this point, like, we're past the point in superhero films where you're going to get, like, a George Clooney scenario with Batman and Robin. Like, that's not going to happen.
Right.
Right. Even a bad superhero movie is still much better than the bad movies in the 90s.
Yes.
You know, so the risk to reward ratio of playing a superhero, like, come on.
It's gone down.
It's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't want to do that, then you just legitimately have zero interest in the genre.
Right.
You know.
And you have more money than you know what to do with.
Probably that too.
Because I'm pretty sure.
Or they offered you a role you have no interest in. Like, a couple people were
I'm pretty sure if they offered you a role in any DC or Marvel movie, you would take it,
know.
Even if you weren't
like,
interested.
There's got to be something I would turn down.
I guess it depends on how busy the actor is, right? Like, you know, someone like, I don't know, Tom Cruise is a good example, right? Because there's all these rumors that he's going to play Hal Jordan. You know, I could understand him turning down a superhero role because he has his own franchise that's wildly successful.
And it does mean another franchise. Like, it's not just one movie. It's
multiple. Well, unless Hal dies in the movie and Jon Stewart has to take over.
Right, but I was meaning more of like the Marvel scenario, right? Where these actors
where
usually sign
dies.
On. When they do, they sign on for multiple films, though, before they die, right? Or they're only mostly dead. speaking of somewhat kind of casting things, though, so I didn't know that they were making a new Big Trouble in Little China.
Yeah, I know.
I didn't know that.
That news came out like over a year ago that The Rock was going to star in it.
Okay, I must have forgotten.
Or just blacked it out.
But they did announce, or Dwayne Johnson, that is, announced that it is not a remake, it is not a reboot, it is a sequel.
That wasn't Dwayne Johnson that announced that. I thought it was him. Writers or something on the
movie. Said that.
I mean, if he did, that's a different article than what I read. One of the writers or somebody, or director.
I'm sorry. You're right. That Garcia, the president of production.
Yeah.
My mistake. For some reason, I thought it was The Rock.
So. Yeah. They're doing a sequel. It's not going to be a reboot, which everybody was scared of. You know, it's going to take whatever mythology is in the first one and add to it. They specifically said that there's only one Jack Burton, and we're not going to redo that character. So that's good. Part of the reason you may not remember the news is I think this was coming out around, there was like four different reboots all announced like within the same period of time, and it was really scary as a movie fan. So
it's hard to keep up with all of it. Like, we were at Target the other day, and apparently the new Muppet Baby show is already out on disc.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I didn't even realize it had aired yet. So, you know, that was fast.
Well, you only have so much time in your life to devote to things, so right.
Apparently, and none of it is to Muppet Babies.
Yeah, Muppet Babies get zero attention.
That's true.
That other Muppet movie we discussed that released, Happy Time Murders, not getting great reviews.
Or money, for that matter.
Brian Henson, you didn't do good on this one, my friend. This was not your best move.
No.
Yeah, it's not doing well at all. I'm not sure who the movie's really for.
Targeted to. Yeah, that's the tough thing. Is it targeted to people that watched Muppets growing up? Because a lot of those people are like me, where they're like, I don't want to see Muppets. Muppets are this innocent thing for me, and I don't want to see it corrupted by something like this.
Yeah, like, the most I want are, like, weird innuendos by the celebrities they interact with, and, you know, we can all just giggle. I never want it to be so overt, and I don't want silly string semen ever in my life.
Yeah. Like, well, I mean, you say that now.
You have to say it is a problem.
I say that now.
Like, I mean, you never know what might happen in 20 years. Maybe you'll be into that.
On our honeymoon, I want silly string semen. Not any other situation.
What I think is the most telling in this situation is the Muppet Show that was on a couple of years ago, where it was like
The Office,
yeah, didn't do very well, mainly because the Muppets were also jaded and depressing and gritty, and that's not what we wanted.
Because they're trying to make them grow up with the people that grew up with them, but I don't think that's the right route.
But that's, yeah, this is not that. And so that show failed, so they just basically did the same thing with this, where it's edgy, it's adult, it's dark, it's all blue comedy, and that's not what I
want
like, to
see.
But,
like, they did it in parody style, so it's, like, Scary Movie with Muppets, and that's horrible.
That's even worse, right? Like,
so it's not the Muppets that we know. It's just like, happens to be Muppet-like characters.
I would even... I mean, maybe I would go see it if it was the actual Muppets, but...
Oh, jeez. I don't know if I want to see Kermit and Miss Piggy in that position.
I mean, I would have been more likely to see it. Right? Because I'd be at least curious.
You're
but I'm
invested
not even,
in
like,
the characters by a few decades.
But like, this is like, it's not even a Muppet Universe movie. It's a totally separate thing, except done in the art style that the puppetry is done in.
Yeah.
Right? So it looks like it belongs, but it doesn't. And I don't know. So that didn't do well.
Quick note. I want you guys to notice we did cross the 1,000 viewer views threshold
on Twitch.
So
that's
a very important milestone. Derek, do you want to make a speech?
No, not really.
Okay,
but thanks. Other than you can join us live Tuesday nights on Twitch at twitch.tv/heroespodcasts.
Trying to set you up there, buddy, but you almost let me down.
It's not that impressive of a number when you realize how many episodes we have.
How many years we've been doing this.
Can we just have the accomplishment without having to compare it to other people?
I'm not comparing it to other people. I'm just comparing it to ourselves.
Whatever. So, yeah.
At 2,000, I hear we all get, like, hand jobs or something.
I don't think that's a thing.
I could have sworn it's like a Twitch thing. Yeah.
Like Twitch promotion? Like, yeah. YouTube hands out the play buttons, Twitch gives hand jobs? That's a little weird, but...
I don't think that's a thing. All right, any other news that you guys want to cover before we move on to our main topic?
Nah.
As we've burned through a lot of our time here.
No, let's do this.
All right, so then we're going to go and take a quick short break, and when we come back, we'll be talking about our favorite TV show finales.
Are you with the Force?
Is the Force with you?
Well, the Force is with us over at the Echo Station Podcast, a new Star Wars series from the Heroes Podcast Network.
Join us in a galaxy not so far away every other Monday as we discuss everything Star Wars from the original films through the whole EU.
So pour yourself some blue milk and get cozy in that tauntaun with the Echo Station podcast. Find out more at heroespodcast.com.
All right, we are back. We are back. Okay, so for those who have not listened or seen one of our episodes like this, we each come to the table with about five of our favorites sometimes of the thing. So in this case, it's our top five favorite TV show finales.
Under the table here.
Now, this is our personal favorites. We are not saying that these are necessarily objectively the best or the most popular or anything like that. Obviously, some numbers, you know, are just going to speak for themselves. MASH, for example, the most watched finale of all time by a wide margin. But I don't know about you guys, I've actually never seen the finale of MASH.
Right.
I don't think I've ever seen an episode of MASH.
I, as a kid that used to play late at night with some of the older shows that I would watch, and I've seen a couple of episodes, you know, so I'm not talking down on that show or the finale, but if I haven't seen it, it can't really be one of my favorites.
Midnight Pearl is asking if there's spoilers ahead.
Most likely.
You know, that's a fair question. Thank you, Midnight Pearl. Yes, we will be probably have spoilers for all of the shows that we're going to talk about. So that's something to keep in mind when we go through this. Some of these shows will be fairly old, but I imagine some of them will definitely be
Or maybe they recent. Slipped through your radar.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yes, we know objectively, we've seen all the lists. We don't want to copy those lists, so we're not going to talk about, you know, Cheers or the Mary Tyler Moore Show or even Newhart, which connected to his previous show, Bob Newhart. So that was a pretty cool ending. We've all seen those lists. We've been checking on those. Yes, Mad Men is amazing. Breaking Bad was really great. So maybe some of those will pop up. Maybe they won't. And yeah, let us know if we missed any of your favorites.
So we normally start with Ryan, but I think we should start with Ray this week.
Seems rude, but okay.
Totally arbitrary.
I agree, but we should go with it.
All right, so one of my favorite endings comes from one of my favorite shows, and that's Avatar: The Last Airbender.
And is that the M. Night Shyamalan one?
Yeah, okay. That's exactly it. Cool. No, the show was created by Michael DiMartino and Brian Knizzo. And the two of them got exactly what they wanted out of this show. They approached Nickelodeon, and while it changed and evolved over time, they knew their overall story arc. They knew they wanted three seasons, and they knew how they were going to end the show before they ever started. And that is a really good sign, because they got to write something that was that finished all the threads, it tied up everything very nicely, and it came to a beautiful conclusion in a, I guess, just a genuine storytelling position. So Aang is the Avatar, and he, this entire time, he's learning and training to defeat Fire Lord's Ozai, who has the capabilities with the upcoming comet to destroy most of the Earth Kingdom and finally take over the world. And Aang, it's a four-part finale, which is a lot for any half-hour show. And Aang spends a lot of it trying to figure out how he can defeat the Fire Lord without killing him, because it is against his nature to do that. And he does, and this whole time the other characters are having adventures and finishing up other things. They're going after the war balloons. They're going after other members of the Fire Lord family, like Azula, and it ties everything together. It has a lot of beautiful fight scenes. The show is heavily steeped in different forms of martial arts, so you know they did not disappoint here. They rekindled relationships and explained away why others were no longer in the forefront. So it's a beautiful show altogether, one of the best shows I've ever seen, and the finale did not disappoint.
See, I thought it ended with him finding out that he was dead the whole time.
Yeah.
And this was all news to me. I wasn't familiar, so.
Well, now you are. Yeah.
It is a really cool finale and a great show. I really loved it. I still need to watch Legend of Korra, but yeah, that was really cool.
That ending is spoiled for most people. Yeah,
that was spoiled for me.
Yeah, because of how unique it is.
Now, so, okay, I guess a little thing here. A finale for a show could be multiple parts, as it is with Avatar. It's four.
It's four episodes.
Or it may not necessarily be an actual intended finale, because some shows get canceled and you're stuck with the finale that you get. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's good enough. Sometimes it's not. One of my examples, I'll give you a scenario there. But so there's a little bit of flexibility here.
Yeah. I mean, for a half-hour show, it's a two-hour finale, and a lot of one-hour shows have two-hour finales, so it's actually not that big of a deal or a huge change when you compare to other TV shows. So four episodes, they're only 22 minutes apiece. It's not a big deal.
Ryan, what is your
Home
first
Improvement
one?
Had a three-part finale.
It did, yeah.
I don't know that I've ever actually seen the end of Home Improvement.
It kind of ends in a weird, ambiguous way, but it was fine. I kind of still hope for the reboot, but I don't know.
Fair enough.
I'd say what you want about Tim Allen, but, you know, the things he did. He made questionable choices for sure. But
it was a good show.
Yeah,
it
I
was
loved
a good show.
I grew up with that show, so.
Yeah, I think I've seen that show at least three times all the way through.
I still watch it. The Laugh Channel that's free on antenna or whatever plays it every night for 2 hours, so I've been watching it, you know, occasionally.
I would like to see how it ends. I never got to actually do
that.
Well,
they finally see Wilson's face.
Yeah.
No!
Yeah.
Oh man, that's amazing. Okay.
You know, technically, I think on the DVD, there was an extra episode at the end, but it was mostly just like memories and like recapping and stuff.
That's cool.
It was a clip show.
Yeah. But yeah, they show Wilson's face at the end.
That's starting to be more common. Chuck and Fringe both have extended versions of their finales that didn't air that has extra stuff.
That's cool.
Things like that. So. So, Ryan, what is your first...
Not Home Improvement.
Not Home Improvement.
Okay.
Right. I mean, that was fine, but yeah, not one that was super memorable for me.
Right.
I'm going to say House.
Oh,
so, I was a big House fan. I came into it late, but it ran for, I think, 9 seasons. And I think I came into it around season 4, season 5, and I just fell in love with it. Even though it was the same formula pretty much every week.
It's never lupus.
Well, it was once, I think.
Yes.
But... you know, I don't know. I loved the characters very much. I was really that was one of the first shows that I was like really sad that they were going to end. Yeah. But the finale was done in a way that I thought was fitting to the character. A lot of people did not like it. If you remember, House wakes up in a burning building and has kind of like has a dead body next to him and has flashbacks throughout the episode about kind of filling the gaps as to what happened and how he got here. He was in a drug house shooting up and like all this stuff happened. He was going to lose his doctor's license because of some stuff that House does, you know, that kind of stuff that happened several times. And this person that was dead next to him was a patient that was going to take the fall for him on whatever it was so that as long as he got healed and got better so that House could continue practicing medicine. And they found House dead in the end, but or in most of the end. And then it's revealed at his funeral that he comes back, that he's alive. He switched dental records or something at some point. And, you know, Wilson, his best friend that had been battling terminal cancer throughout the last, I think, 2 seasons or last season, is doing the eulogy and gets it saying how much of an arrogant ass he was and all this other stuff. Gets a text message from him saying, shut up, or something like that. And then he calls him after the funeral, House does, and says, so what do you want to do with the last 3 months of your life? Which I thought was pretty powerful, but a lot of people hated it. So I can understand why they would hate it. I liked it. I enjoyed it. It was bittersweet, obviously, because, you know, I loved the show very much, but yeah.
I can see how that would rub people the wrong way. Just like, you know, Dexter, that show has a very...
That was the Scott Buck effect.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Iron Fist showrunner, and he's killed several other shows.
It was very controversial. Dexter doesn't get his comeuppance. He gets to walk away after being a serial killer for 6 seasons, and he becomes a lumberjack, and that's it.
Huh.
Like.
So I loved House. I caught it, like, I first started watching it, I think, like, in season 3, but I went back and started it at the beginning. But it lost me when he drove his car through Cuddy's house. And I was like,
that was weird.
I think I'm done with the show.
It kind of felt like jumping the shark. But I think then right after that, they went into the mental institution, which I thought was an interesting storyline. How is he going to heal or help his team from the, you know.
Right.
And obviously they find a way. And he gets out eventually. But, I mean, I stuck with it through that because I just loved the characters so much. I thought House, you know, was an interesting character.
Yeah.
Different than what you see in almost every other show.
Yeah.
And surrounded by people that were also interesting characters for the most part.
It had a really good support.
Amber
cast.
Tamblyn showed up like in season 7 or something, mm-hmm. I think, and she was a nice addition for the later seasons. But yeah, I mean, I can understand that. That was, I think, lost a lot of people in that specific episode. That was a finale, wasn't it?
I think it was the finale of the season before the final season,
the
if eight, I remember right.
Season 8.
I think.
Yeah.
It's been a while. But, yeah, I mean, it was a good show. Maybe I should have finished it, but...
I mean, you could go back and finish it now. You don't really need seven yeah. seasons if you forgot everything that happened. You know the basic gist right. of the show. It wasn't, you know, that
well,
much
the first
story progression.
3-4 seasons are very serialized. Like,
yeah.
You just jump right. in.
And you didn't really get the overarching stories until, you know, yeah, 5 or something.
All right, so for me, for my first show, I'm trying to figure out, you know, what's going to show up on my list and what's not. I'm going to go ahead and just get the obvious one out of the way, because everybody who knows me...
Is it the one on
me,
your titties?
No.
Oh, okay.
It's not. But everyone who knows me knows that I would probably pick a Star Trek something for here. So, yes, it is The Next Generation, the 13th most watched TV finale of all time. Over 30 million people tuned in. Yeah, the finale of TNG, All Good Things, is not only my favorite TV show finale of all time, but it's actually one of my top favorite episodes of television of all time. It bookends the series perfectly. For those who don't know the show, the first episode and the finale tie into each other perfectly. It revolves around the character Q, who's the omnipotent godlike being and focuses on Picard. There's a bunch of time travel. You get to see alternate futures where the characters are all, you know, significantly older. You get to see, you know, some really cool aspects of those characters and what happens with them as they age. It's a little timely now because the new Picard show that's supposed to happen will take place at about the same time as the alternate future from the finale, which is kind of cool. So we might get to see some throwbacks to some of that. But I felt that for a finale that was really only an hour and a half at the end of the day, was able to cover 3 different time periods, an entire cast of characters, even bringing some characters back like Denise Crosby's Tasha Yar, keeping Q, who people, he's become just synonymous with The Next Generation, but he's only in like 11 episodes of 170 something, you know, and the special effects are great. The makeup work is really cool because they have to age everybody up in a bunch of unique ways. The story is just really intense with high stakes. And it ended up actually being better than the movie that came out shortly after it, Generations. So that one's definitely on my list. I just love watching that episode. So, so cool. It also has my favorite Enterprise in it, by the way, which is the alternate future Dreadnought Enterprise D. So...
That was cute.
Good yeah. talk. For those of you who don't watch the video, Derek was actually welling up a little bit talking about
it. I was
it.
Not.
So that's how much it means to him. His eyes are still moist. Aren't they, Rachel?
Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
I'm not, you know, giving you a hard time. I'm saying that it obviously means something to you. So.
It is a wonderful episode of television. So that is the first one, just to get that one out of the way.
Okay.
We all knew that was coming. So.
Yeah.
No surprises there. Yeah. So Rachel, your last one.
Yeah, my last one.
Yeah, time sure does fly.
So, my next one is probably something you guys haven't heard me talk about before, and that's Dollhouse by Joss Whedon. So, Whedon has had 4 shows that he has come up with. They've been original ideas, and Dollhouse is probably the least popular out of all of them. There's no cons dedicated to it. Nobody has Dollhouse reunions. But I actually think it's the smartest of all of his shows. First season was pretty poorly received because the concept of the dolls was very easily poorly written for the first few episodes. Most of them were used as either these ridiculous super spies or fetish toys, and that's not okay. But once Whedon got a handle on it and he could show the seriousness of the nature of the dolls, then it got really good. So season one had very poor ratings, and he knew that Fox was basically giving him a handout for season two because of what they did to him for Firefly, and he got lucky. So he wrote a season, some of the best story writing I've ever seen. He brought in just incredible characters and really interesting dynamics and a subplot and a twist ending that I was not expecting, that is still thinking about it. It just blows my mind how I didn't catch it. It was so good. And
did they ever move out of the dollhouse?
Yeah.
Into full-size house?
Well, the whole thing ends with this wasteland dystopia. And it was so good.
How did you not see that coming? That's what I don't understand.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you'd figure that's how all TV shows should end. It's just a wasteland dystopia. It's a really good show. It's one I'm eager to rewatch here soon. So, Dollhouse, watch Dollhouse.
Never seen it.
Derek and I are passionate fans, obviously.
Yeah, I've never seen Dollhouse. So
that's fine.
But Firefly is not on my list, so.
Well, no, you can't. I don't think you can count that, since episode 14 with Jubal Lee is not that great of an episode. It's one of the weakest of the whole season.
I guess you could call
Jubilee from the X-Men shows up.
Yeah, you didn't know about that crossover?
I've never seen Firefly, so...
Yeah.
Other than the first episode.
I mean, you could call the movie Serenity the finale, I suppose.
I feel like that's a
If you wanted to, yeah, I'm not...
We wouldn't do that with any other thing, so...
Ryan!
Hmm?
What is your next pick?
What are we talking about? Oh, okay.
Favorite robots. Kind of...
I did not prepare for that. I prepared for favorite reboots. Is that going to be a problem?
It's a shame that Ian doesn't listen to the show.
Yeah. It's a shame that no one really listens to the show. Yeah. Midnight Pearl.
We love you, inside Midnight jokes Pearl. That nobody else is listening to anyway. So, what's your next show?
I'm going to say Parks and Rec.
Oh, okay.
So if you haven't seen the show...
I love Parks
and Rec. There was a weird... and I didn't watch the show until it was on demand, so or like a streaming service, so yeah. I don't know how long. Obviously, there was... the show stopped, and then they brought it back at some point, because season 7 is much different than season 6. There was not... It just aired...
Yeah.
When you're after that. Okay, it seemed like there was a break there.
No, they just did something very different from what other shows.
Well, I appreciate what they did. Season 7 was something that
they added the time jump because Amy Poehler did not want to act pregnant.
Fair enough. She did Baby Mama, and that was
with triplets. How would you even do that?
Yeah.
But the finale was, I thought, a really fitting tribute. These were characters that we all cared about watching the show. You get to see them all kind of meet up in the parks department and reminisce about the times that passed, and
very satisfying
fix a swing set, and that was their big thing. But then partway through the episode, they set up to take a picture of all of them, and at that point Leslie says, "I'm ready," or something along those lines. And they start going through each character to show where they are. Even some of the smaller characters that aren't the main cast members, you get to see some stuff about. And pretty much everybody's was very satisfying. It was sad. It was, it was an emotional thing, which is always weird for me when I'm talking about TV shows. But, you care about these characters.
It was a shame they couldn't bring Lucy Lawless back for the final season. She wasn't in one episode. But I do like, if you guys are huge fans of the show and you've watched it multiple times like I have, you'll notice that the homeless man that Leslie beats with a broom in the slide in the very first episode is the man in the suit that requests them to fix the swing at the very end. And it's just like,
there's a lot of stuff like that in the show. Like, I read an article about it that had like all these different people and how they progressed throughout the show that were characters you didn't even like care about. It was like a guy at a city council meeting or
these are like D level characters. Yeah,
but they had their own storylines going on and you didn't really notice it until somebody points it out.
Yeah.
Now the finale, One Last Ride, it's the 2-part finale, is awesome. And it happens to finish off one of the best seasons of television. Like, it ends on such a strong note, that final season, even with a time jump. I mean, who successfully pulls off a time jump?
I mean, looking back at it now, it's kind of silly because it takes place in 2017 or 2018. Oh, right. And you're looking at it, and they have, like, these hologram tablets.
All the grizzle devices.
Yeah, well, which I think is fine. It kind of suits the world that they've created Pawnee. But,
It did air in 2015, so that's why it seems.
But even in 2015, they expected us to have hologram tablets.
Some of the stuff was fine. Like, Kevin James for the Jason Bourne reboot. Yeah. Like, that's hilarious.
Yeah. No, the finale is great. One of my favorite things about it is how they handle Jerry. You know, because Jerry gets beat up. Jerry. She fixes his name, remember?
And
that's Gary.
Gary.
It's Gary Gergich, right? Gary Gergich. Sorry.
Remember, he gets excited when they make the mistake and call him Gary and go, "You're Gary now." And he says, "After 29 years of working here, they finally figured out my name.
I'm truly blessed." But you know, he becomes mayor earlier, and you get to see how long, you know, that goes on. He stays like mayor forever.
And then he becomes a motivational speaker, if I remember right, and all this other stuff.
Like, he ends up dying at like the age of 100 with like 1,000.
His wife that hasn't aged at all.
Which is so funny.
Yeah.
You know, Tom's book, you know, with all the different personalities.
Failing to fail.
Failing to fail, you know. And when Ben says that he got a Tom, it just totally screws with him. It's a really good finale.
Fun fact for you about the finale. There was a producer's cut of the finale where Shauna Mollway Tweep and Jeremy Jam's futures are explored.
No!
In 2018, Shauna's fiancé leaves her at the altar and Bobby Newport sees her crying on a park bench. Shauna and Bobby end up getting married 5 hours later.
Yes!
That's fantastic!
And in 2020, Jeremy Jam is working in a hibachi restaurant in Florida.
I'm okay with
that. All right. I'm good with it. I'm sad that never made it into the episode.
It's a real producer's cut that happened,
That's fantastic.
I know, it kind of made me sad, too, that we didn't get to see that. Because I would love to see Paul Rudd come back.
Right? And what a good matchup, the two of them.
Right?
That's perfect.
Yeah.
They
married 5 hours later.
It sounds right.
Yeah.
It totally sounds
perfect.
Right.
It tracks.
Oh, man, that's so good.
Yeah.
All right, so then for my next one, and Parks and Rec was on my...
Was it?
My list.
I had a feeling.
I didn't select it because I knew it was going to be on one of yours because we talk about that show a lot.
Such a good show. So that one was on my list.
Better than The Office.
Yes. I think that's objective.
No.
No, it's
not. A lot of people prefer The Office.
I'm making a joke.
Okay.
It's just making a joke.
Well, stop making jokes, Derek. That's my job.
An opinion is always subjective.
Your face is always subjective.
Anyway, all right. So next up on my list, I am going to pick Scrubs.
Yeah. There's a surprise. Derek's list, I could have predicted his entire list before we even started this.
So Scrubs, not Scrubs Med School, but actual Scrubs.
Season 9.
Season 8, my finale.
It was supposed to be a completely different show, but when it failed, they just tacked it on.
Right. It was supposed to be... It has a separate title. It's Scrubs Med School. It's a completely separate show. So my finale is the season 8 closer when it got picked up for one final season on ABC. And it had been on NBC, for those who were not aware. Anyway, the finale is about JD's last day at Sacred Heart and going and meeting all the characters for that. And it's an incredibly sentimental and touching episode. It's pretty emotional. They do a really good job with it. There's some great jokes as well. You know, Turk has this giant banner made for JD that covers the entire entrance to the hospital. That's used later for the projector screen, and JD gives Dr. Cox the book of every insult that Dr. Cox has ever given JD.
Something that I would spend real money on. Right, just letting you know.
If that was a book, we would own it.
Yes.
There's no question. Yes. If that was a real thing. You know, and at the end of the episode, of course, that like all of the it's all supposed to be in JD's head, right? But all of the characters, minor characters, almost everybody except for two, are like lined up in the hallway as he's leaving. You know, the hospital for the last time type of thing.
Even dead ones.
That's right. Like from My Old Lady, which is one of my favorite episodes. She's in
that one was harsh, man.
It's a great episode, and that's early. It's season one.
Yeah.
It's like episode like 4 or something. But two of the characters, and I'm drawing a blank on their names, unfortunately, but he played Hero in Heroes, and she played Chuck's sister in Chuck. They were both on NBC shows, and NBC was not happy with ABC picking up a show that they had canceled, so they did not allow the actors to show, which I thought was kind of petty. But it ends with this awesome slideshow, kind of fast forwarding in the future a bit, where you know the kids are growing up and they're celebrating things together, and you know there's little jokes in there, and you get to see Bill Lawrence as a janitor in the very final shot.
He was the showrunner,
yeah. And I guess he did get to play the officiant at the janitor's wedding.
He did.
So there you go.
It's a great episode. Always makes me cry, and hearing, you know, the Book of Love in the background too is really nice.
It's a really, really good episode.
Yes.
It's
one of their best.
That season kind of saves the one before it that got all chopped up by NBC. So yeah, strong stuff. I don't know. Did you ever watch Scrubs, Ryan?
I watched some of it.
Okay.
I didn't watch all of it. Like, I remember a lot of the stuff with Tom Cavanaugh and Brandon Fraser.
Mm-hmm.
The Brandon Fraser episodes are Fraser, stellar.
Yeah.
That's what I said.
No, you said Fraser. But, you know, we can go back and listen to the recording if you want.
Yeah, you can do that.
I remember those, so I don't know what season those were, but if they were, like, neighboring seasons, I feel like I watched those around
Cavanaugh,
the same time.
Tom Cavanaugh came back multiple times.
Okay.
So. He's JD's brother, so he was recurring.
Every season, except for the last, I believe.
I don't know if he was until in that much,
he
but...
was in the... Yeah.
Did he wear a flash shirt in one episode?
We'll just have to rewatch it.
I think I've seen something on... It's either him or JD wears a flash shirt in an episode with him, with Tom Cavanaugh.
That's cool.
Which it is might funny be because now, you know, Tom Cavanaugh is one of the Flash actors.
Yes. So, anyway. Scrubs, there you go. Season 8 finale, my finale.
Yes.
So. Right.
Okay. So, this is unexpected from me because I don't really talk about the show. One of the best cartoons ever created was Wolverine and the X-Men. Mm.
And not where I thought you were going with that, but
it was because it had already it came out around the time where serialized cartoons were a thing, so you had overarching stories and it was all connected and it was really well done. Unfortunately, it was only canceled after one season, so it did end on a cliffhanger, but the cliffhanger wasn't too bad where you needed that second season. It was just really well done, guys. Like I've never seen such compelling X-Men stories before, and this is coming from somebody who loved the X-Men TV show in the 90s. One of the best theme songs ever written. Like, fight me on that one.
Yeah. There's a couple I throw up there
with
it.
So good. Yeah. It's
a good one.
But Wolverine and the X-Men did everything that X-Men show couldn't.
And they really should have titled the actual X-Men movies the same thing, because...
Wolverine and the X-Men.
You know, it's basically what they were.
That was it. Like, it was banking on the popularity of the films, and it told better stories than the films.
It's not really hard to do than a couple of them.
Some of them are pretty bad. So, it's pretty great. They got to do the Phoenix storyline. They got to do the Hellfire Club storyline.
All in one season?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It's pretty incredible.
I never actually saw... I saw the old cartoon, but I never saw this one. So, that's cool. Nice.
It's a good show. I don't want to spoil too much of it, because I'm going to make you watch it. Of how great it is.
Okay.
But
It's only one season. I'm sure you can find time, Derek.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a cartoon. There's only
That makes it easier.
Yeah, you know, after 30 Rock, so. We're like halfway through it, so, yeah.
Might as well I guess so, yeah.
But then you have to watch My Hero Academia.
No, she's watching it.
No, but you should watch that, too.
We'll see.
Are you watching it?
Yeah.
It's so good. Oh, my God. So good.
I do a good All Might voice.
Do you really? I want to hear it.
Not right now.
Please?
We'll save it for the future.
All
right. We'll be talking about an anime or something. I'm going to say one that you guys are probably going to hate me for is The Office.
The Office had a really good finale.
You know, you can debate whether Parks and Rec or The Office are better. You know, and I think that either one is fair. I could see the merits on either one. But I think both of their finales were done pretty well.
Yeah.
The Office finale kind of basically Dwight's wedding.
And ending the mockumentary or the...
Yeah, ending the documentary, and they go back and do a Q&A for the DVD extras. And all this kind of circling the time of Dwight's wedding, and then Jim throws a bachelor party for Dwight.
Which was a lot of fun. Who's oblivious to the
stripper. Yeah, I mean... There's a lot of good stuff happening. And then, you know, when Michael comes back was a really emotional moment, at least when I watched it.
Yeah,
it was emotional for me. You kind of knew it was going to happen, or hoped, at the very least, that it was going to happen. Yeah. You know, because the show was never really the same after he left.
Robert California didn't work as well.
And I liked Robert California, but yeah, it wasn't as good. And, you know, Nard Dog... was good for a while. Then when he left to go
film The Hangover,
shipwrecked or whatever.
Film The
Hangover. You wanted the fake reason. My bad. Yeah. The story reason.
But then you had the woman from Doctor Who.
Right.
Take over. Nellie, was that her name?
Yeah, Nellie. Catherine Tate.
You know, and I thought she was great. But I mean, none of them are Michael Scott.
No.
So, you know, you're always trying to not to compare it, but you're comparing it.
And when he left in season 6, it was so good. Like, that ending was amazing. His last episode, his last full episode, and him proposing, it was beautiful. Yeah. And by then he had grown up. Michael Scott in season 1 and 2 is hard to watch.
He was like a flat-out jerk in the first episode.
Homophobic and...
sexist, racist.
It is bad. Right. It is hard to watch. You gotta push through to get to good Michael Scott. And
because we just did a rewatch of it, and like... I've only seen the show through twice now, and
it's tough, man.
Hard to get through the first couple of seasons.
You stick on for Jim and Pam, and Dwight's pretty great, too.
I stick on for Dwight. I really do. I find him to be the most interesting character on the show, and just his weird code that he follows, I just find really interesting. And
the 59 rules for Shroot Boys that we only ever learned like 4 of, but I'm really curious, and I want to like write a book of the rules for Shroot Boys, because I'm just really, I feel like the internet would buy that.
They're all going to be just the rules of acquisition by the Ferengi,
like, which is a book you can buy, by the way.
No thanks. If it was called the Shroot's 59 rules,
I'll just put a sticky note on it for you.
No thanks.
The finale was good. I definitely think the finale was good. It was a good way to end the show. The wedding was cool. I like that. That's how they did it.
And it wasn't the wedding you would think it would be, because I know the whole time Jim. I mean, obviously they get married early on, but they're the big romance. Early enough. I mean, it's what, 2 full seasons after their wedding it went on?
Yeah.
So,
it's definite Dwight fashion, getting married in their graves.
Yeah, so weird.
I love that their first dance is him just lifting Angela the whole time.
Yeah.
And
it's
so good.
It's a great Dwight-centric episode if you're a Dwight fan. I think that was kind of to set him up for his spinoff that was short-lived.
Yeah.
Did he ever
got picked up?
Okay.
I think they did a pilot, but it wasn't picked up. But he was, I think he was the best character by the end of the show. You know, as far as...
He had the most growth, probably.
Yes.
Yeah.
I would agree with that. I don't really feel like Jim changes or grows in any real way. Pam changes a lot over the course of the show.
I like that some of the characters didn't change. Seeing Ryan and Kelly run off together, and Catherine Tate just stealing Ryan's baby.
Like, and Creed getting arrested at the end. Yeah,
so I mean, there's some things like that work out, but like, Ryan I found just to be insufferable pretty much any time.
I think that was his character. I mean,
I know, but if you have
plus you work with those people, like people like Ryan. Like that.
Not like that.
I don't know. I feel like you've described recently somebody
like, that... I've worked with so many...
There's a difference there.
I've worked with a ton of Kellys. Just a ton of Kellys.
I don't work with that person anymore.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's right.
Yeah, but that's
you
a...
You have worked.
It's a different situation, gotcha. But... Yeah. Anyway.
Derek, what about yours? Next,
okay, so...
We're about out of time here.
Well, we've got to get... We got to get through five, so we're going
to... No, we don't. We can stop at your last one.
Oh, all right. Well, yeah, if that's the case, then if we're just doing our top three, then I'm glad that I picked the three that I did. So I'm going to finish with Futurama.
God, it's so good.
I could have easily predicted meanwhile, all three
of those. In that order. Now, you could argue... Now, you could have picked... Technically, Futurama has like three finales, yes. Right? You've got... The Devil's Hands Are Idle Playthings from season 4.
Great episode.
When they were canceled
my
the first
favorite
time.
Episode.
Phenomenal episode. You've got the film Into the Wild Green Yonder, which ends with them going into the wormhole, which is a really good way to end as well. But meanwhile, was the first legitimate, purposeful finale for the show. And for those who don't know, basically what happens is the professor creates a device that lets you roll back time 10 seconds, and then it takes 10 seconds for the button to reset. And Fry finds himself in a situation where he's stuck in a loop, falling off of a building, and every time he dies, Leela has to press the button to reset the time, and they're stuck in this loop. And eventually they break the button, and it breaks time. And Leela and Fry get to spend their lives together, and... It's pretty great. Mm-hmm. Really emotional episode. Really strong. Every character is really strong in that episode. It does focus really heavily on Fry and Leela, but that's the kind of the purpose of the show.
They've been building up to that, too. They had the episode where Bender became overclocked so much that he was a god, and he wrote down everything that was ever going to happen to Fry and Leela, and the two of them, like, got to read it, and they ended on an aww moment.
After
and
they each slap each other. I mean, just the finale is wonderful, and I think what I really, like, the literal end of it, when the professor's ready to fix everything, you know, and, Fry asks if they want to go around again, you know, and it ends with that. And it's just really,
yeah, she says, I do.
Yeah.
And they do it. They do it all over again. They go back in time and they live their lives a second time together. And
it's good.
I mean, who doesn't want that?
I love it because it's a perfect and encompassing ending for the characters, for the show as a whole. But also, in a way, if they ever had an opportunity to come back, they could.
Yeah.
You know. I love Futurama. It's one of my favorite shows of all time, and it's a great ending.
What does this mean for our mini fans?
Sorry. We were watching the Futurama movies when they are brought back. So they always have to make a joke about them being canceled. So.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So do you want to, like, do a quick lightning round for the other stuff on
your
list?
Sure,
sure. Talk about them. But.
Yeah, we can definitely do that. Ray, do you have anything else on your list?
Not really, because honestly, I knew you guys would pick Parks and Rec, Scrubs, and Futurama, so...
Okay.
Those would be on my list.
Okay, well, two other shows that I had on my list were Friends. I think that while the show has a lot of its problems, especially when you rewatch it now in 2018... The finale is actually pretty damn good. You've got, you know, Chandler and Monica having their babies being born, and Joey's a nutcase, and you've got the whole Rachel and Ross thing where whether or not she got on the plane because Phoebe takes Ross to the wrong airport. It's very, very dramatic, mm-hmm. You know, and I feel like it balanced the characters really well and gave a really solid ending that was the happy ending, right? That's the safe ending to do where everybody kind of ends happy. But I think it worked really well for those characters. And then the other one that I had is one of my personal favorites, which is Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
I had that on my list too.
The finale of Fresh Prince is kind of sad. Basically, everybody leaves Will behind. They all move. Carlton gets into Princeton, and the girls move to New York, and the parents want to be closer to them. And so Will's left behind finishing college in L.A. in Bel Air. and it's kind of sad seeing everybody leave him behind. Jeffrey goes back to the UK to be with his family and all that. And so there's kind of this moment at the end, you know, where Will's in this empty house, a set that had been used since season two, because they had a different house in season one. Yeah, it's a really strong, strong ending to the show. The characters, you know, really grew up. And
I almost put Boy Meets World on my list because I really loved the way it ended. But I also thought that it, you know, it had stronger episodes in the middle. So
Fresh Prince does too. You know, I'm drawing a blank on the title of the episode, but the one where Will's dad kind of stands him up and everything is a powerful freaking episode right there.
The gun one.
Oh yeah, where Will gets shot.
Yeah,
protecting Carlton. Man, there's some really good stuff in Fresh Prince.
We talked about it. I think on Best Sitcoms or something.
I think we probably did. Yeah,
because it belongs there. It's great sitcom.
Now in chat, Midnight Pearl wanted to point out that if someone puts Seinfeld on the list, then our lists become totally irrelevant. I am a massive Seinfeld fan. It is such a mediocre kind of finale. That was just an excuse to basically bring back a bunch of characters and redo a bunch of jokes. But I do appreciate that the show begins and ends with the exact same conversation to showcase exactly what the finale is supposed to be showing everybody, which is that these characters have not grown in any capacity over 9 years. They're still the same shallow, self-centered, selfish people 9 years later. And that's the point of the show. So at least it did that. But it is not a very good finale. Even though it is one of the most watched, being a very popular show.
That doesn't make it good.
I agree. Right.
Look at the Transformers movies.
I agree with you. Any other shows you guys want to throw out there as possible choices?
I had Smallville on my list because you got 10 seasons.
And you finally see Superman. Him fly.
10 seconds of Superman.
Yeah, not even not 10 seconds. I don't think you get like him running to the camera.
The camera, yeah.
Showing the Superman logo. But there was some other good stuff. You got Granny Goodness in that episode. You had Darkseid in that episode. You had, there was a lot of somewhat deep cuts on the DC side for a TV show. Yeah. Of course, when you go 10 seasons with Superman, you're gonna have deep cuts
because you'll run out of stuff to do.
You're gonna run out of stuff. And I mean the Justice League stuff, and you know there's a lot to deal with.
You mean
in that
the Hoodie
episode.
Brigade?
The Hoodie. Well, but when that show came out, I mean that was on a TV budget. I mean Arrow doesn't look that much better than the Hoodie Brigade. I love the costumes in Arrow, but really they're
Wild
not that
Dog
much more
doesn't.
Advanced.
Look,
Mr. Terrific doesn't like.
This was the CW 10.
More than 15 years ago now.
Yeah.
You know, on a budget that it had then, the network is much more successful now.
Yeah, they have way more money now, so they can afford to get an actual costume designer in there. So, yeah, I mean, a lot of people give the show a hard time, and with good reason for a lot of it, but I thought that that him and Lois getting married and, you know, him finally taking the mantle of Superman, you always knew the show was going to end that way, just like you know Gotham's going to end with Bruce becoming Batman, but it was nice to see that finally wrapped up. I also had Quantum Leap. I'm not going to get into it, but it was a good, very controversial series finale.
I never actually saw the finale.
Yeah, basically he leaps into himself and has a conversation with everybody, and you get some kind of like everybody that he's worked with over the years, and you get kind of an ambiguous answer from Al about what he is. He like is kind of implied that he's a god. And Sam finds out that he can leap back into himself anytime he wants, but instead of doing that, he goes back to when Al was in Vietnam, that era, to talk to his wife and tell him to wait for Al because he was captured in Vietnam, if you remember, and his wife moved on because they didn't know if he's ever going to come back. So he went back and told his wife that he would come back. So that kind of sets up a weird chain, like, then does he ever become who he is in Quantum Leap, you know? Yeah. So a lot of people were unhappy with that ending, but it wasn't meant to be a serious finale. They went and filmed like two episodes to kind of make it into a serious finale,
right?
But I liked the serious finale. It kind of shows a more selfless side to Sam, that even though he could go back to his life, he's instead going and trying to help people still. And I also had Family Matters, which was a really weird...
It was weird.
...series finale. At that point, Urkel was in space, if you remember.
And Harriet had been replaced.
Harriet, well, that happened early, at the first several episode seasons, I thought. Or was it the last season?
Yeah, it was the very last season Harriet was replaced, because she just didn't want to do it anymore.
Yeah, that was weird. But then, you know, at the very end, Urkel gets to kiss Laura, and, you know, it's a nice, happy ending. He doesn't die in space, but he comes back as a hero, a national hero. You know, being that Steve wasn't even supposed to be a main character when the show launched, it was an interesting twist that the show went through, and kind of transformation, and a good ending to that whole transformation. So it's funny, because if you go to Wikipedia, because I went to Wikipedia and got all these... like kind of
synopses
of the last episode, so I can have a reminder of what happened. Because some of these I haven't seen in a while. The 90s sitcoms, Fresh Prince, Family Matters, it's like one paragraph. But then on like The Office or Parks and Rec, it's like four pages of what happened. So it's funny that shows progress in a way. Smallville was actually really long too, because so much shit they had to wrap up in that episode. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
Things were so much more simple in the 90s.
Well, yeah. You also have to have someone go back now and write them versus people who are actively writing.
You're also talking about half-hour sitcoms versus, like,
well, The Office is a half-hour
sitcom. That's true.
It's just people were writing those as they were airing versus, like, for Fresh Prince, you'd have to think to yourself, someone should really go write about this.
Right, which people do. You could literally go through every episode and then somebody has written a synopsis for that episode.
And we thank you for your service.
Yes. You make my job that much easier, so I don't have to go watch all these over again.
Anything else?
No.
That's it?
I think that's it.
All right. So next week, we are talking about...
our favorite sports films.
And we've got some qualifiers on that.
We'll go through it at that time. Yeah, we'll talk about. We did set the rule that we're each going to pick one from a different... sport. We're not going to overlap, so my list easily could have been just nothing but baseball movies, because as Derek's a kid, list could have easily been
Rocky 1, Rocky 2, no, Rocky 4, Creed.
I think there's a difference between one series and one sport, because like I could think of a couple different football movies I would have wanted on my list that have completely different types of films.
Oh, sure.
Right, but like
I can probably think of the movies you're talking about off the top of my head, but we're not going to get into that.
No, not this week. No. That's next week. So next week you can join us for that. Don't forget, we do this live on Twitch at twitch.tv/heroespodcasts, Tuesday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 Central. Ryan, you are Buster Props.
Yes, I am.
Ray, you are Siren Ray, S-I-R-Y-N-R-A-E. Yes,
I am.
And I am the Star Trek dude.
Yes.
We are the Screen Heroes and the Heroes Podcast Network at Heroes Podcasts on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and heroespodcasts.com. You can find our show on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and anywhere else that you can drop in an RSS feed. Thank you so much for tuning in, everybody. We will catch you next week.